Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. With all the talk about health and wellness these days, we can't escape our society's collective preoccupation with creating a healthy lifestyle. But with all the contradictory information out there and the countless diet options, it can be overwhelming and frustrating to figure out what works best for us. To simplify things for us, I invited Mary Sheila Gonella. Mary Sheila is a holistic nutrition consultant and educator. She helps people who are suffering from the effects and complications of high blood sugar and other health concerns in her private nutrition practice and group classes. She received certification as a nutrition educator consultant from Bauman College and a certificate in clinical Ayurveda. During our conversation, we cover a variety of topics like holistic nutrition models such as Ayurveda and how we can build a healthier relationship with food by choosing our food options wisely and consciously. By listening to this episode, you'll realize that creating a healthy lifestyle does not have to be a complicated affair and that you possess all the wisdom and knowledge that you need to nourish yourself on all levels. Hi, Mary Sheila. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for making some time to speak with us today. I'm super excited to learn more about you and dig deep into some really important issues around how we choose to feed our bodies and get some insight into both the science and psychology of nutrition.
Sounds great. Yeah, I love talking about this.
Yeah. So I want to start out by saying that I love your story around what inspired you to pursue a career as a holistic nutrition consultant, because I could relate a lot to some of the things that you went through. Could you please share with us some of the pivotal moments in your life that led you into a career in nutrition?
Sure. Yeah. So I did grow up in the 70s and 80s when probably more convenience foods really hit the scene. And I think it was really convenient for my mom and our family. And so I didn't really grow up with a really deep connection to where my food came from. And at the same time, I was also, you know, growing up, that was a time when a lot of antibiotics were used. And so kind of the combination of, you know, more processed foods and more medications and antibiotics kind of hit my body in a way that by the time I was a teenager, I really needed to make some changes to really get my health back in order. And that's ultimately what I did, as I personally just used food as medicine. Food became something that really shifted my health, shifted my perception, and became my lifelong passion. When I was living, I live in Northern California, and I ended up moving onto a farm when I graduated college. And all of a sudden, food was this thing that I was harvesting and was growing. And it wasn't something that was just in a package, and it wasn't just a label that you read and looked at maybe calories and things like that, because, you know, like so many young women too, I also had, you know, developed this dieting mentality that also did not serve my body and my health at all. And so when I switched out of that and just started using food as my medicine and harvesting and growing food from the earth, I actually also got really into basket weaving. at that point in my life. And I started wildcrafting a lot of my food and herbs and seaweed and mushrooms. And so I formed this entirely different relationship with food that became really healing to my body. And my body responded really well. And in that sense, with that new mindset, you know, that's also what propelled me to really want to help other people to learn that, you know, the way that we're eating and the marketing that is out there that's telling us to eat certain things is not based on healing whole food principles. And that's really kind of what got me propelled into this field of using food as medicine to help other people to really heal their bodies.
Wow, that's interesting that you see food as medicine, because a lot of people don't associate food with something that can heal their bodies. And, you know, they usually look at food as a source of pleasure, or, you know, they have a pretty complicated relationship with food. Based on your experience, why do you think that so many people struggle with developing and maintaining a healthy relationship with what they eat? And what can they do to change that? How can they shift to a healthier perspective on food?
Yeah. Well, the thing I think mostly is that most of us, we were not taught nutrition in school. We, you know, I don't know, like, did you learn any nutrition when you were in school?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I was fed junk food throughout my childhood. I paid dearly for it.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So most of us, we really had no education growing up. We learned lots of things, you know, and we pride ourselves as knowing where all the states are, but we don't know always how the inner workings of our body work and how food really meets our physiology to work in the body. And so that's one place where I think we don't have that education. So we really don't understand the power that food has. And we do, we seek food for pleasure. And that's really, you know, when we're kids, that's what we just want, things that taste good.
Right.
And then the other thing too, is that we also, most doctors have not really been trained in nutrition. And even if they have been trained, there's not enough time in our current model to really allow them to go beyond just telling us to eat better. So there's that big question of exactly what that means. Sometimes people get told, you know, you need to eat better, but they don't really know what that means.
Yeah, that's so true. That's very true. Yeah. Because I tried all kinds of diets, and, you know, I had no idea what healthy eating look like. I did it based on what I read in magazines and what I heard from others, but it took me a while to kind of figure it out. So I'm sure a lot of people have to go through that journey of discovery of what really suits their body.
Exactly. And then, you know, what most of us are exposed to actually is the marketing that we find on labels, you
right.
know, so companies are processing foods that are usually pretty low quality and cheap and have a long shelf life by the time, you know, we see them in the market, and we don't know exactly how they were made or what's in them. And we're told on the label that this is going to, you know, this cereal is going to boost your immunity, or this, you know, glorified candy bar, protein bar, whatever has, you know, tons of good things in it. But ultimately, we're really outsourcing a lot of our foods these days. And so we don't know exactly, you know, we still kind of don't have that connection there.
Yeah, it's quite unethical, isn't it? I mean, I saw a box of Fruit Loops the other day. I mean, I don't even go near cereal boxes now. But I just happened to see one in the supermarket, and it said high fiber, low sugar. And I was like,
yeah.
Really? It's Fruit Loops.
Exactly. And even if they're not adding a ton of sugar, which, you know, with that kind of thing, they usually are, but they're also, you know, the way that it's processed, it's really just starch. And so maybe they didn't add as much sugar, but it still turns to sugar pretty quickly in your body. So I think that's a big part of it, is we didn't learn it. Our doctors don't tell us, or don't really know how to teach us that either. and we're exposed to so much marketing. And the other thing is, you know, even just, you know, a lot of us, we might not have had that same connection, that same lineage with food being passed down through the generations. You know, so I think it's hard too when we're all really busy. We don't always make the time for meals. And so if we don't have time for a meal, what are we doing? We're grabbing a snack. And what is a snack? It's usually something that comes out of a package. So it definitely can be really challenging as far as, you know, making time and taking the time and effort to create a good, healthy meal can sometimes get in the way of making good choices as well.
Right.
And then, you know, I think too, you know, making choices that aren't necessarily healthy, some of it is because perhaps there's an emotional attachment, you know, in some ways we might be eating our emotions. And then other things too, is a lot of the foods that are out there, they trigger responses such as addiction, and we just want more and more of those things. So
yeah, like I remember Pringles. Pringles used to be a very addictive thing for me when I was younger.
Yeah, totally. I know. And everybody can kind of pick their thing that's like, oh yeah, oh my gosh, if I had more of those, I would just eat them up. But because they are addictive, and they're made to be that way, and they're made to really increase our amount of dopamine that's released, and then we want more. And then if we're more deficient in some of the nutrients, and whether it's the micronutrients or even some of the macronutrients like healthy proteins and healthy fats, we might actually really be deficient. And then those fill this gap kind of artificially. So it kind of becomes this perpetual cycle that is hard to get out of when we're stuck in that addictive mode.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've also found that there's also a cultural component when it comes to eating, you know, like when you're eating ethnic foods, you know, with your family, and they're used to eating a certain kind of food that's very culture specific. Sometimes I find that there's a disparity between what I eat and what my family eats. Sometimes, especially during the holidays, it took me a while for me to convince them that this is the way I eat, because this is the way I want to feed my body. And, you know, so.
Yeah, it's hard to be when you start realizing you can't just go along with what everybody else is eating, and you really have to go along with what feels right in your body. And then, you know, it's almost sometimes it could be there's a little bit of sabotage going on, you know, even if it's an undercurrent, or just, you know, people not understanding and want, you know, and taking it kind of personal. So there's so many emotions that we have around foods. But it really does, you know, but sometimes we just have to stay the course. And I think a lot of people are finding they have to stay the course because they realize they have a true allergy to something and they really can't eat that thing. And sometimes it's even that, you know, if we have that mindfulness before we sit down to eat with others and really realize, okay, that food is going to make me feel like this later or like that tomorrow. Do I really want to have that food right now? So there's just that ability to take that little moment and choose what's right for our body rather than how everybody else is going to feel around us, whether we eat something or not.
Right. And, you know, I've been following the paleo. Is that how you say it? The paleo diet?
Mm-hmm.
Since 5 years, and I've seen the positive impact it's had on my body just simply by cutting out the processed foods, as you know, as you mentioned earlier. I couldn't believe it, what a turnaround there was in my health when I just made this simple shift. But it wasn't easy to do because there, as you know, the paleo diet, there are a lot of things that you need to cut out, which you're used to, like dairy and like wheat, rice, things like that. So mm-hmm. What is the best way for someone to transition into eating more natural and whole foods?
That's a great question, because it can feel overwhelming, and there are so many different, you know, diets and plans and books and people out there. So for me, one of the most important things is to begin adding things that you want to eat more of, rather than feeling like, okay, I have to take all these things away. And especially if there are some addiction underlying going on. So even if you just start adding whatever it is that feels like you know that you need. I mean, for some people, even just adding more water as a beginning place and hydrating the body, since we are, you know, at least 70% water, just like the planet, adding more water and hydration to move things along can be huge. Adding more green vegetables, if that's something that you barely get any of. I would also say what I love to recommend, and I've written a whole ebook that I give out on my website, is just starting with breakfast. Having a good breakfast that really balances and honors your hormonal system, which then really balances and honors your blood sugar balance. And that sets you up for success for the day. Like if your blood sugar is balanced, it makes it easier to make better choices during the day and have less cravings because your hormones are more in balance. So I often recommend people starting with breakfast. And just the simplest way for me to say it is don't have dessert for breakfast, which is like we were talking about earlier, the cereals or, you know, pastries, things like that, but have dinner for breakfast. So have something savory, have protein, have healthy fats, have healthy greens. Think about leftovers or soups or stews or things like that, that just really give you a good foundational start. And I know a lot of people these days are really into intermittent fasting and waiting to have breakfast. So even if your breakfast is a little bit later, or if you wake up and you're hungry, is to have that first meal be savory and not sweet. And to me, that is a great foundational place to start, along with just adding more things. So rather than thinking, oh, I can't eat all these things that are my favorites, what am I going to eat? Just start adding what you know is healthy and good and see what happens. Because sometimes when the body has what it needs, we don't crave as much of what is not serving us.
Right. Yeah, I definitely found that to be true. So you are a practitioner of Ayurveda, which is an ancient Indian science, which has helped you weave in emotion and bio-individuality into your work. Could you please tell us more about Ayurveda and how it can benefit us?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Ayurveda is the science of medicine from India, and it has been such a wonderful kind of way for me to go deeper with my clients. It's an elemental science. So, and the other thing it has is really has really very deep roots in self-care, which is something that a lot of us are talking about today. And what I mean by elemental medicine is that we're surrounded by an external environment, but we are also a part of that. So the elements such as air, ether, fire, water, and earth are all around us, but also are within us, right? So we all have air. When we breathe air into our lungs, we have this hollow organ. So we've got space, which is where the air and ether kind of reside in the body. We also have, you know, even in our, throughout our blood, we have oxygen traveling throughout our blood to oxygenate the entire body. And we all have fire in our body as well, too, just like we have in our, you know, in our planet. Our cars have fire to kind of get them to move around and get us around. And we cook food with our fire. We warm our homes with fire. And within our body, we have fire as well. We have a couple digestive organs that are very fiery, like the stomach and the liver. And then we also, just like the earth, we are very fluid and we have a lot of water. And that's our transport system and our cleansing system, not, you know, both in the environment and in the body. We have our blood, our circulation, and we have our lymphatics. So we have all of our waterworks that are constantly cleansing and nourishing the body. And we also have... you know, earth, that's what we are. So a big part of Ayurveda is really looking at like, wow, are you too hot? Is there too much fire in the body? And assessing that. And if there is too much fire, then we need to cool it down. So we need to add foods that are more cooling. Is there too much dryness? Is there too much air? Or did the fire rise too high and now the body is dry? just like if there's too much heat, things really dry out, and then you can have a forest fire. Same thing, we could have too much heat and dryness. The bones can become dry and brittle. So then we need to make sure there's more hydration and fluid, and things have a ability to move. So as soon as you start seeing the elements in the body and how you can, you know, cool things down, warm things up, moisten things, dry things out, even if there's too much mucus, then you can use that those elements. And the other thing that, so that's where in a sense, not everybody is going to, you know, I'm not going to recommend everybody to have salads all the time. Some people I'm saying, you need your food to be warm, wet, and in a bowl. You know, you need moist and hydration and things already pre-cooked in the pot. Other people, they might need, you know, salads with each meal because they're really hot and inflamed.
The different body types. That's
exactly
that. I think on Deepak Chopra's website or something, he writes a lot about Ayurveda.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, Ayurveda also has, you know, we talk about too, and that emotions, usually disease and will manifest in the body physically, but what comes first are our thoughts and our emotions. So the emotions play a huge role, in just, you know, how we view the world, but what can manifest in the body. So sometimes a big part of what people need to address if they have any health conditions, is we have to look at the emotional piece as well.
Yeah, it's that mind-body connection thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. So there are many diets these days. You know, there's vegan, paleo, macrobiotic, Mediterranean, raw food, ketogenic. No, I can just go on and on. And it can be overwhelming for people to kind of sift through these options to find out what works best for them and their lifestyle. So do you have any tips on how they can do it without losing their mind?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot I could say about it, but just to keep it kind of simple is, you know, and one of the things, the emerging science of our time, and a lot of people are seeing what their genetics tell them, and a lot of people are doing genetic testing and finding out, you know, their ancestry. I think there's something to that, is seeing, and even if you don't do that testing, it's like, who are you? And, you know, who are your people, your ancestors, and what are some of the traditional foods for you? I think there's a lot of power in that. And then as far as all the different diets, and I mean, because I'm a nutritionist, you know, I experiment myself because I want to see how things feel in my body and what can feel better or not. But I think there's something about being a bit flexible too. So I like to tell people, you know, be a flexitarian rather than feel like you have to be one thing and stick to it for the rest of your life.
Oh, I like sometimes the flexitarian.
Yeah,
I've heard that before.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes the body actually really prefers to have a shift in the metabolism. Sometimes ketogenic will be really good and it'll switch on some parts of the metabolism. And then, you know, maybe you do something else after a while because it can get, you know, even being ketogenic for a really long time can shift the microbiome. Maybe not in the most positive way. So you switch things up and you add more fiber, which is going to mean more carbohydrates. So being flexible, listening to your body, and eating mostly whole foods is going to put you in the sweet spot. If you're experimenting with these different diets, but you're eating mostly whole foods, you're probably going to be in a better place with your health overall. But in general, you know, again, a lot of my philosophy is, you know, eating meals rather than snacks and making sure you're getting the main macronutrients, you're getting your proteins, you're getting your carbohydrates, you're getting your healthy fats with your meals. That's usually going to set you up for success in the long run. And then you can experiment, you can play with some of these different diets and see what feels good to you, but be open. You know, sometimes I have people that I know become vegan and then they start getting really depleted and deficient. And I think, yeah, well, you got to be flexible.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's happened to a lot of people. I think you're not alone in that. We try something on and then we find that it doesn't quite work for our body type, our constitution. And then we have to go back to eating things we've maybe thought we never would eat again. But, you know, it's okay. We're human. We have to learn what's going to be the best for who we are and what we're doing and how much we're moving in the world and what conditions come up in our body.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think just keeping it as simple as possible, I think that really helps because, you know, we've got so many other things going on in our life. So I think to just get the basics right, as you said, get the macronutrients that you need and kind of listen to your body, because I think a lot of people don't listen to their body. They're just so disconnected.
Right.
So I think that's really important. Mary Sheila, thank you so much for enlightening us on how we can eat better and use food to nourish not just our bodies, but our mind and spirit. Before you go, could you please let my listeners know where they can find out about you and the services that you offer? And also the freebie. I think you mentioned a freebie an ebook.
Yeah. So I have a website. It's called occidentalnutrition.com. And I serve people locally and also globally and see clients virtually. My focus with my clients is that, you know, ultimately I help health conscious people who know that their food choices know that their health condition is a result of their food choices and stress levels. And they're really ready to go deeper than weight loss so they can reclaim their health and look and feel their best. And I do that through the lens of the hormonal system. And so if people have any kind of endocrine issue around blood sugar or adrenal fatigue or thyroid or maybe sleep issues and menopause, it's really about aligning the hormonal system together. So I have a small group mentorship program. So if anybody wants to look me up on my website, you can contact me about that. But what I do have as my freebie is a breakfast report that really gives you the ultimate guidance to why you want to have breakfast and how you want to create a breakfast that really sets your hormonal system up for success at the beginning of the day. And there is an Ayurvedic proverb that says, if you have a good morning, you'll have a good day. If you have a good day, you'll have a good life. So I truly believe that the breakfast is really kind of the foundation that you can create on a day-to-day basis for hormonal and blood sugar balance.
Yeah, they say that it is the most important meal of the day. So, yeah. Okay, great. So thank you. Thanks again. And it's been such a pleasure to speak with you, Mary Sheila. I wish you a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to speak with you too. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.